I'm joined by the opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight.
Morning.
And Alex Stone.
Yep, I'm here. Good morning.
Excellent. All coming in loud and clear. Taking...
loud and clear and lucid?
No.
Not yet.
I said loud and clear. The lucid part will judge at the end. So taking a look at local events and further afield as well, if they so desire. So we've just been talking to Paul Walden about the local board plan consultation. Now, both of you in the election process keenly interested in the local board and who would be elected and the direction we'd go in.
Yes.
So now. Did you put your money where your mouth is? Have you, either of you, been involved in the consultation?
Yes. I think the board probably got sick of the sight of my face yet. Thursday, I had to talk to them twice with my one hat on for marine protection and then a bit later with my other hat on for the art gallery. And both times, I thought they listened very politely. And it was great, you know, the opportunity to talk to them and to have them listen. And in both circumstances, there were councillors from Auckland Council is there as well, so it was fine. I thought it was a great option. Yeah.
So, Alan,
okay, you got a good reply there. I'd have to say no. I honestly haven't. I haven't really had the time. Of course, I was interested in the election that took place last winter, before things got really busy. But this has been for me, as well as I mean, a lot of other people on the island were all saying this has been the busiest summer ever, and I haven't had a chance to follow any of it.
Well, here's a chance. So one of the things that they're going to be consulting on this afternoon is the kind of, you know, I suppose the integrity of the coastal network, you know, the beaches, the coastline and all the rest of it. So off the top of your head, what are the number one things that the board need to address around a coastal?
Well, I think I just listened to Paul a moment ago. I thought his focus on integrated catchment management is very astute. I remember at the previous board election at a public meeting, someone from the floor asked Jo Holmes if she knew what integrated catchment management was, and she said no, and then went on to become the drainage spokesperson. But... you know, the way to look at our island through integrated catchment management is logical, scientific, the best way to do it. And I think that should extend out to the sea as well. You know, if you have a skyline to coastline management plan for looking after the land, then it follows that the bit of coast that attaches to that land should be looked after too. So I think it's all good stuff.
Yeah. Damn, he's on form this morning.
Yeah,
he is, isn't he?
This is good stuff. Yeah. I hope you're listening folks. Alex is really nailing this.
Look, the island being a limited land area and an increasing population, and our increasing population in themselves are having increasing footprints.
Sorry, hang on. Do we have an increasing population?
Steadily,
though?
Yeah, steadily.
Not by very much.
In my valley in Palm Beach, there used to be... Most of the houses in the valley were batches, and in the past few weeks, three of those houses have become permanently inhabited. So it's, you know, that's just me looking out of my window, and I've noticed a growing use of what were batches as permanent houses. The new 30-something demographic with toddlers is definitely taking up what were batches on the island to become permanent residents.
So, oh, well, at least they're getting used.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
I would, you know.
But I wasn't aware
that
there's
no scientific background to that. But
I wasn't aware that the recent census had shown up a particularly large.
I think there was a slight one, wasn't there?
Slight,
I
mean, there's always been a slight one, but yeah. I mean, I've been here 16 years, and the population's only gone up by about, well, less than 2,000 people.
But even so,
because you might get a lot of people moving here, but it's the Garth George. Thing where you visit here first in February and think, oh, I could do this, and then you do your first August and start to think, actually, no, this isn't as much fun as I thought it was, and you have to live your life by the boat timetable and stuff.
You definitely notice that, I mean, I've been commuting on the boat for 12 years, I think.
Yeah, you need a gold medal,
and you do see. You know, because you get the same boat, so you see the same people, and I mean, it's amazing actually, and that you see these people come on. And then they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, well.
Yeah. This island does not work for everybody. And I think this is why we see the population increasing so slightly.
Yeah, there's definitely a celebrity come and go syndrome. There was old Garth George. There was, celebrity used with inverted commas. There was the the Labour Party guy, the spokesperson guy, what was his name again? And then there was Sam Hunt, the poet. We've had people come and go.
Brian Edwards.
Yes.
They sort of come and then they found, I don't know, there's a celebrity come and go syndrome that happens here.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's everybody. You move here, it either works for you or it doesn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're talking about the coast.
The coast. And I think I'm going
to
say...
My point was that even if we don't have a huge population, we've still had quite an impact on the state of the island's environment. You know, there's some fairly denuded wetlands. There's some pretty ugly creeks. There's the beaches at Blackpool and Shelley Beach lost almost all their cockles, and the cockles are only slowly coming back. You know, in the early days of bad septic tanks, the cockles really didn't look too good. So we've had quite an impact, and we need to fix that. Simple as that.
So, I mean, you said at the start you're going to be lucid, and I think we can agree that you probably have been.
Jeez, I'm doing well, eh?
Yeah. So, you know, if we were to look at a more superficial level, Alan, you know, just looking around the place, I mean, you know, what's the stuff on the coast that you think that needs some attention?
Do you know, I really can't think of anything. I'd sort of walk along the beach with the dog from time to time, and it all looks lovely.
Mm. Can I dive in here? Because I think what needs serious attention is crayfish. I when I was speaking to the board on Thursday, I choked up. I got all teary about... I never thought of crayfish as warm and cuddly and fuzzy and lovely, but...
You're just a total fish hugger, aren't you?
It's weird. But a survey last summer of 15 perfect habitat sites along the northern coastline discovered not one single crayfish. So crayfish might be on the way out on our northern coast. So I think one thing we have to look at on our coastline is under the waves. See what's there and fix it.
Mm. When you say fix it, how do you see that happen?
You talked myself into that. I think we need measures of protection along our northern coastline.
So a marine reserve.
The M word, yeah.
The M word, yes. Oh, boy, you've taken some stick for that over the last year or so.
I think a marine reserve would be a terrific idea. And everyone knows we're in the process of researching to find the best place for that.
Yes.
That's where we're at with it, yeah. There was an interesting...
I'm fascinated, though, in the... quite how hard working your opponents are,
yeah,
and the amount of money they must have spent putting those ads in. Yeah. But the strange thing is, I mean, I sort of don't care either way on this one, but I read with interest.
You like eating crayfish?
I love eating crayfish. Yes. The interesting thing though is that your opponents in all these very expensive ads that they're running in the papers. It rather seems that their arguments have reached a sort of a point of hysteria where they're not that effective anymore.
Yeah, some of their early arguments are almost laughable. One person on this very radio station said, if there was a marine reserve here, the Department of Conservation would organize squads of rangers to chase wedding parties off the beach. And if you repeat that now, it's...
Yeah, it's utterly ludicrous. You know, they may have a point, but I think their point is being lost in their haste to just think of any imaginary thing that they can throw at the Marine Reserve proposal.
Yeah, they continuing along this line that no dogs will be allowed on a beach that's attached to a Marine Reserve. Last weekend, I was taking photographs at Taputeranga Marine Reserve, which attaches... Island Bay, a suburb of Wellington, and a lovely picture of a dog digging happily in the beach. You know, it just happens. It's just. And if you read, there's a letter in this week's Gulf News poking gentle fun at their reasoning for why dogs would be taken off the beach.
Right. Yes, I believe I did see that.
Yeah. we need to look under the surface. Two weeks ago, Roger Grace, who's an eminent marine biologist, did a talk at the community cinema talking about this underwater survey that they did last year. He said in 40 years of monitoring the Hauraki Gulf, the reef system off Enclosure Bay is the most degraded he's ever seen.
That is a shame.
The Kina Barrens, and interestingly, a question from the crowd was, what if we just eat the Kina? Might that balance the situation? And Roger's answer was very astute. He quietly said that if the problem is overfishing, then the solution is not more overfishing.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is something that needs to be looked at underwater, and we should do it. It's just a no-brainer. It'd be terrible if on our watch the crayfish went locally extinct and the snapper disappeared. And it's very likely. It's happened the generation before. There used to be hapuka along this coast. In our grandfather's generation, and they've disappeared. So it shouldn't happen again, you know. Mm. So am I being reasonable?
Yeah, entirely. It was interesting to to see that once again, Oneiroa Bay, all through summer, has been, yeah, there's been some weekends you could pretty much walk from boat to boat across that bay. Rather puts you off swimming in the water, though, when you know that all those septic tanks are being pumped out.
Yeah, well, it's one of those voluntary acquiescence situations. Boat owners are supposed to have holding tanks, but there's no way of enforcing it, so boat owners are asked to voluntarily accede to the rules.
Yes, and anyone who's been swimming in Oneiroa Bay will tell you that they are not following those rules. It's a septic tank down there.
I think new bigger boats have the holding tanks, but I'd say boats 30 feet and smaller that are slightly older probably don't.
Yeah. Have you seen the big boat?
Oh, the big Russian one?
Yeah.
I was amazed by that. I saw it last weekend heading into to Auckland.
Yeah,
I saw it's pretty remarkable.
But there's a remarkable story behind that, if we may spread our view to something wider. The owner of that Russian boat, his wife wanted to join him, and she can't live without her lap dog. And so he paid the New Zealand Customs Service and Customs and Quarantine Service an undisclosed sum for them to let this dog in. So does that count as bribery?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, the lap dog is on the boat at the moment with the lady, and I have this lovely vision of the paid crewmen sort of following along, scooping up the little doggy's dues.
It's a remarkable looking craft, but I must admit my first thought when I saw it was just, welcome aboard, Mr. Bond. Please make yourself comfortable while I explain evil master plan before letting you go.
Well, if we do film the next James Bond movie and
Auckland, that boat deserves to be in it.
Well, we have .com.
Yes.
We'll use .com and the little lap dog. We could have the lap dog because it's here now. And the big white boat. Yeah, fantastic.
It is a fantastic looking.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's incredibly ostentatious, but very impressive.
Yes, if you're going to go and spend a load of money on a great big boat, at least have some originality. And that is nothing if not original.
Yeah. What would the James Bond scene be if we had the boat anchored in one of our bays? Could we have a scooter chase, a yellow scooter chase.
Yes, yellow scooters. Oh, speaking of scooters, did you see Waiheke took a pounding on Fair Go this week?
For what?
Yeah.
Ouch. Yes, one of the
scooter rentals.
Scooter rentals.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, we won't get too deep into it here, but look it up online. It was not good.
I've been down in the deep south, and I had some interesting tourist things. We got ripped off at Weta Workshops. We arrived 5 minutes late for the tour because there'd been a pile up in central Wellington, and they just said, that's it, you've lost your money, you have to pay again. But then Leslie and her dad did a Kaikoura whale watch, went out, spent a day on the boat, saw one whale briefly, saw about 200 dolphins, saw a whole bunch of seals frolicking, and when they got back, they got their money back because they didn't see enough whales.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So there's your tourist stories.
That's disappointing with Weta Workshops. I mean, that's just rude.
Mm. Talking about whale watches, what was the story about an ex-board member taking photographs of innocent people stepping aboard the Waiheke whale watch?
Ah, well, now that is an interesting one. Because we were discussing this beforehand. Yes, the wonderful... Because weren't we talking about this last time, the appearance of a sort of Waiheke equivalent of America's Tea Party, where the disaffected right-wingers pushed into opposition are now getting all frisky. And yes, we have this remarkable ongoing blog that just grows and grows and grows, written by a certain well-known former ex-local politician. Mm. Well, very ex indeed. And she is really displaying some fantastic plot loss.
Yeah. Well, vlogs are a strange art form of vitriol, aren't they? And then there's that old truism that every political career ends in failure. But this one seems to be winding down into some kind of ignominy.
It's awful. It really is. It makes you feel quite creepy reading it. This is someone who has not taken defeat well. But I just think it's like, well, come on. You ran a disastrous campaign. You annoyed pretty much everybody except a small group of your supporters who kept telling you you were doing a wonderful job, and you got ignominiously voted out. The least you can do is shut up. But
aren't there any privacy issues here? You know, people. I thought that the board's boat trip, I thought, was this profoundly significant positive gesture. You know, to go back to the thing about looking at our marine environment, I thought it was fantastic. So it cost a bit of money, but anything does. But to take pictures of people stepping aboard the boat for what
you're jamming
possible
a camera in people's faces
for what possible future use is verging on some kind of privacy issue.
Do you reckon? I mean, let's broaden it out further here. Privacy, and I mean, there's a lot of talk about privacy at the moment. And I mean, you know, we see, you know, people being concerned. You are in a public space. Yes. You're having your photo taken. You know, it's you're there. I mean, people can see you anyway. I mean, it's the same with
way
the,
too precious. About
you know, the same with the Google Street View thing, where people go, "Oh no, my photo's been shown." Well, you were there.
You know, if you're in a Street View and Google takes your picture, there's no malicious intent, but the intent of taking someone's picture, stepping.
Well, surely you've got to wait for the maliciousness to occur before you.
I suppose. Good point. Yeah.
But I think, you know, that with this person being so overtly hostile to anybody who isn't part of her little clique of supporters, I'm not surprised that quite a few people on that were like, "Get away from me!"
But you're not one to support the spending of public money, Alan. So,
no.
So I mean, what's your view on the board hiring a dirty big boat and taking a whole lot of people around the island to shove their political views down a captured audience's voice for throats for a day?
I didn't see it as that.
It wasn't.
I don't even see it as that. I mean,
it was looking at the environment, and the boat hire was a couple of $1,000 out of a board's budget of a couple of million. Let's put things in perspective.
Yeah, getting out and about and doing so. I didn't have a problem with it, but then again, I'm not as embittered as some people.
Well, you're doing remarkably well because you didn't get your free boat ride.
Yes. Oh, look, I've been on free boat rides with Fullers. They're lovely. You get round, you get within nasal distance of Gannet Rock and things like that. It's fascinating. Mm. Lovely.
Mm. Well, it's the Round Waiheke Yacht Race next weekend. There's your chance to get a free boat ride.
But I just think that the idea that somebody was that bent out of shape about it, that they actually went down to the wharf to take photographs of people getting on the boat, the invited guests, like they were doing something wrong. Mm. You're not doing this the right way. Well, maybe massive plot.
Maybe they'll be getting a little framed card, commemorative card in the mail.
But here's me wasting public funds.
Well, might be the next election posters. Might be your face might appear on the next election.
Yes, but I mean, given that the various, she's always referring to people as hard left.
Mm.
But, I mean, given the outspoken nature of leftist green politics on this island, it's not like there's any privacy issues concerned. Most people who live here are quite out there about their views.
Hmm.
I think it was just the general hostility of the camera being waved at them that was the problem.
So, let me get this right. Hard left is bad, hard right is good.
Apparently, yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know. Hmm. I dislike both.
Yeah, no, they're funny, those kind of divisions, eh? Hmm. Suppose it's unfortunate that right is also synonym for correct.
Yeah.
But left is a synonym for what?
Well, of course, the Latin word for left is sinister.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, the left-handedness.
Yes. Yes.
Well, maybe the left have got an image problem.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that... atheists thought they had an image problem a while ago, and
I don't feel I have a image problem as an atheist.
But this is an interesting one because gay folk gave themselves the name gay, and it's a kind of friendlier title. And the atheists thought we need a title that's better than atheist. And they started proposing the idea of calling themselves brights. Do you remember that? It was a year or two
ago. No, I don't recall that, but that is quite clever.
So it's quite a... But it kind of backfired because people who weren't atheists were miffed that the word bright implied that
clever.
Yes. Yeah. It implied the people who were sort of leaning in the other direction weren't quite as clever.
Speaking of matters religious, wasn't it delightful to see yesterday that the appalling Fred Phelps finally jumped the twig and the world feels like a better place for it?
Gosh, no, I'm not up to speed with this story. You'll have to tell us.
The founder of the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, the one who pickets all the funerals and stuff, God hates fags and everything, he died. Bye. Good riddance. But there was this lovely suggestion that wouldn't it be ironic if a whole lot of gay people turned out and picketed his funeral, waving placards of understanding and forgiveness.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the supreme insult for him.
What is so it that...
The Westboro Church this week were picketing, or were going to picket Lord.
Lord's concert, yes. Yeah. Apparently they say New Zealand is a deeply sinful place. It has a sinful prime minister and apparently our liberal attitudes are all entirely against.
And how does Lord, how come she's the figurehead for this?
Who knows? They just must have read about her and just thought, oh, right, okay, that one's worth doing.
Okay.
Lord herself was apparently most amused by it.
I'm sure she is. But I was just thinking, what is the gene, is there a gene for lack of tolerance? You know, where does it come from?
No, I think lack of tolerance along with religious belief is a form of mental illness. That's my view, and I'm sticking to it.
I thought you were going to say it's a form of limited intelligence. I would have gone along with that.
It's generally, you know, it's like the old Bill Hicks line. Have you noticed people who don't believe in evolution are really unevolved? there's a good deal of stupidity involved in intolerance, definitely. You know, if you're so stupid that you're intolerant of other people, then yes, you have an intelligence issue. But also, I think in terms of when that intolerance is based on the idea that your bad-tempered and unpleasant God wants you to behave this way, then that's not stupidity, that's mental illness.
Oh, okay, I'm with you on that one. Yeah. So if we
which
go
is why I will continue to press for a religion-free Waiheke.
Yeah,
this would be a healthy thing for us.
But I was just trying to bring it back to Waiheke. Where do we stand on the old tolerance continuum? Do you think we're a tolerant society?
I'm not. I'm highly intolerant of religion. I was one of the first people to question the use of a very dubious local religious cult using the high school hall for meetings. I found that entirely inappropriate and raised a lot of questions about it, and was glad to see that it stopped.
Well, how about you, Chris? Are we a tolerant bunch?
Well, you two
are tolerant.
I don't know. We'll be classed as tolerant. I think you're fairly tolerant.
Well, we tolerate each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll tolerate most things, but I just think that there are things that we could achieve as a society, and it's noticeable that, you know, Waiheke is nuclear free. Well, big deal. I mean, the whole country's nuclear free. We're GE free, are we? I don't know.
I talked to David Saul about that, the microbiologist. He reckons anyone who's eaten a tomato sandwich on an international flight has brought in GE seeds already.
Righto. But to me, it would seem if we want to be free of something on this island that would actually make a difference and be a force for good, we should be religion free.
Well, that's part of our Bond plot. The big white boat is in the bay, and the Bond villain has said, "I have come to." You got the accent. It's come to my knowledge that there's a religion free island here, and he wants to take it over. That's our Bond plot.
Yeah,
and then we have the yellow scooter chase.
So how far does this go? I mean, are you ripping the crosses off hot cross buns in disgust and stamping on them? Or?
Oh, no, I wouldn't go that far. No, I just want to make life difficult.
Oh, you're an icon of tolerance.
I know. I just want to make life difficult for anyone who introduces religious beliefs to young people, because I think that should be stopped.
Oh, you shouldn't feed those kids the hot cross buns.
It's a bun with a cross on it. That's taking it too far.
There's got to be a point, though, isn't there? I mean, if you look at the kind of, you know, the cultural heritage of New Zealand society, Christianity's a big part of that. And there's got to be a point where awareness of, say, you know, what those religions say and what's involved in their kind of stories and legends and so on has got to be an important part of kind of participating in the society.
Yes. I mean, all right, you could tolerate it up to a certain point, but I think so long as people who want to start cult-like activities on the islands, we're watching you.
I found a lovely piece of trivia.
Particularly if you target young people.
I found a lovely piece of trivia the other day about the history of tolerance in this country. In 1913, New Zealand had paid a couple of $1 million, equivalent of $200 million now in today's money, to build a battleship for the British cause, and the battleship was called HMS New Zealand. And in 1913, it did a tour of all the ports of New Zealand, and it was met with fanatical, jingoistic crowds at every port, thousands of people. 1.1 million people in 1913 stepped aboard this boat.
That would have been about the whole population.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And then, but when the boat docked at Westport, that hotbed of lefty Irish coal miners, the number of people who stepped aboard the boat were 2.
Wow.
So they weren't that tolerant of the old British battle.
Hey, I used to live in Westport. It's entirely possible that they just didn't notice. they were probably all in the pub. Westport has the highest percentage of licensed premises per head of the population of anywhere in New Zealand.
Oh, so it was a good place for you to land then.
Yes, I was running a brewery there. Yeah. It was great. I did 2 years in Westport, no time off for good behaviour. And I was very glad to get out of it.
Well, they've always told me West Coasters are a little bit odd.
Yeah, they're also very little. Yeah. It was quite strange because having come from Canada, where people are quite tall, and my own height of 6'2", was just entirely unremarkable.
Well, maybe it's advanced evolution. They're coal miners, short little fellas together.
Yeah, there's quite a few Irish-descended people there, but also an awful lot of Welsh and Cornish-descended people. And, yeah, mining genes make for quite small people.
I had a lovely experience.
But you definitely wouldn't want to get into an argument with them because they'll just go for your knees.
On the West Coast last week, we were walking up to Fox Glacier, and there were some lonely planeters getting out of their car, and we were all getting very excited about going to look at the glacier. And they asked the one bloke, "Are you coming with us?" And he said, "No, I hate scenery." So I felt sorry for this chap. I thought, mate, you're in the wrong place.
I hate scenery.
Could you imagine? Yeah, what's wrong? I mean,
so imagine if he landed on Waiheke. Do you think he'd be okay with...
Maybe he just didn't want to go for a great big walk. I got sent on an outward bound course with the company I was working for in 1985. And the central part of the course involved a 2-day jaunt across the Lake District. In the UK, and you know, you had to walk up one side of a mountain, walk down another one, stay overnight in a mountain hut, and then go up another mountain and down the other side. And I got down to the bottom. I was 25 at the time. Finished this long walk of 2 days, and I went, right, that's me done. I'm not going for a walk again.
You haven't done it since?
I haven't done it since. Have never been for a walk since.
Oh, well,
apart
done.
From you know, maybe if there's a wild pig to be shot, I'll put my boots on and hike out to do it. But generally, I have never walked since that day.
I've had a Waiheke experience like that. I once went along Bushytail to go play frisbee golf.
Ah, yes.
Have you seen
this? Yes, I've seen it.
There's a frisbee golf course. And I had one round of frisbee golf, and that's it. I've done frisbee golf now. You know, I don't think I need to do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I've even needed to do it, actually.
Yes. I felt that way with golf. Yeah. I've played one round of golf on a golf course covered with lizards and coconuts, and it was really one of the dullest things. The only thing I've ever done that was duller was lawn bowls.
Oh, but I tell you, a golf course covered with lizards and coconuts is a hell of a lot more exciting than your average golf course.
Well, true, yes.
You see, this golf course over here has only got maniacs riding horses. There's nothing exciting on that.
Strangely enough, I met a golf course golf club member last night, and he was, again, of that wonderful mentality that it's like, no, we're entitled to this. And it's like, well, yes, everyone, you can have a golf course if you want. You pay for it. But no, there's this entitlement thing going on there. No, you have to have a golf course.
Yeah. Well, the way Waiheke's going, our golf course will become a highly exclusive gated community country club with $1,000, $10,000 entry fees, you know.
Well, yes. But I was mentioning to him as well that, of course, since that land was originally zoned to have a rifle range on it, if you lot don't pipe down with that, those of us who enjoy a little recreational shooting will start insisting that we have a gun club down
there. So how did he relate to that?
He didn't. He was
the bullets going down the
field. He did not like that idea. And I said, well, you know, you golf club members need to pull your heads in a bit, or you will find us clamoring for that. And you think horses are bad? Wait until you see people with high powered rifles.
Well,
with
Alan, I wish you luck. we're talking about Waiheke tolerance a moment ago. You try and propose the gun club.
I know there would be limited tolerance for firearms on this island. I remember one person on Waiheke Trading was trying to sell an air rifle, and some of the response that they got was like they were trying to import a nuclear weapon. So you can't put firearms on the trade me thing. It's guns, no, guns bad.
Well, they have got a point. You can't put them on there. You do have to sell them in a particular way.
No, New Zealand is, strangely enough, even more tolerant than America in this. You may sell firearms on trade me.
Right.
You certainly can't sell firearms on eBay in the States.
Yeah.
But you can here.
No.
Obviously, it's got to be a license has to be cited, and you have to get a police certificate for the trade, but it's allowed to be done.
Okay. Well, we better call it quits.
We're running some territory.
We're running a bit late
Look,
this morning.
Look, Alan, you and I will go and write this Bond script, and we can act it out next time. You've got the Bond accent, and
James Bond set on Waiheke. Yeah, that would be quite an interesting thing.
Yes,
it's almost a radio play in that.
I could be Q. I'd be that guy. You know, the guy with the...
Yes. Okay, we'll look forward to that. So, we've been talking to the Opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight and Alex Stone. Thank you very much to both of you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And see you next month.
Yes. Well, we might get back on proper schedule at some point.
I can't do next time. First of next month, I'm on holiday.
Yeah,
first holiday in years. It's going to be great.
Excellent. All right. Thanks very much, guys.